RBC's October 2025 Top Things Across Gold Equities frames a market pausing mid-rally. Gold's 66% year-to-date surge, its strongest since 1979 now, it faces correction, risking near 4,100, which we might be near now.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each morning Vince brings you the financial and precious metals news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey. This is the Gold Fix Market Rundown. It's 7:28 in the a.m. Here's the markets. 10-year yields are unchanged bid. The dollar is up 13. The S&P 500 is up 19. The NASDAQ is up 80. The VIX is down 11 basis points. Gold down $69, bumping up against the lows before the last washout. Silver, $47.99, right at the lows when this whole thing turned around, down 87 cents. Copper, $5.04, up a little less than a tenth of a penny. WTI, again, up 50, 51 cents at $62.69. Natural gas, unchanged bid. Bitcoin, up a grand at $111. K, Ethereum, up 96 at $3,900. Palladium, $14.14. Platinum, $15.89, down 39, down 33. In that order, gold, silver, 84. I'm looking for gold, silver to stay below 89 now. Soybeans, unchanged, unchanged. Corn, unchanged, offered. And wheat, unchanged, bid. So pretty common in the grain side. Metals, yesterday I said this could be the bottom in silver. And you have to know that I got long on that. And there was one level that I needed us to break intraday for me to be really confident. The initial move was proper, but it did not happen during the day, and we might be rolling over. So we'll get to that in a second. But I do want to go through the lower right-hand story, RBC top five things about miners now. I've been a fan of RBC's work for years. You know, back when no one cared about metals, RBC cared. We used to read their stuff whenever we can get it. And now everybody's getting the limelight. But when it comes to miners, when it comes to gold and silver equities, RBC is the best. And they put out, but rarely when I read their stuff, it's either good long analysis or good charts. Rarely do I get them together. But this one is different. It gives five things to look for when the market, when the futures are going sideways or lower. So basically, you know, price to EBIT, price to AISC. It goes through that. And then it goes through how miners perform in downdrafts in case the market does wash out. And it goes through 2008 to present, 1970, 2008, breaking into two timeframes. It goes through the miners, how they performed. It goes through the length of how they performed. It goes through the depth, and it goes through the reaction to the market after they come out of that area. Fantastic piece, and that's from one of the founders. I appreciate that. And we broke it down and shared it with everyone. We'll show you one or two charts as a tease, but actually, let's just go through that right now. RBC's October 2025 Top Things Across Gold Equities frames a market pausing mid-rally. Gold's 66% year-to-date surge, its strongest since 1979 now, it faces correction, risking near 4,100, which we might be near now. Equities, though profitable, lag metal prices, trading at trough valuations, despite record 1195 profit margins. So that's a huge margin, right? Costs have become irrelevant as producers swim in cash, with attention shifting to capital allocation and restrained M&A. Reserve conservation persists. Miners resist raising assumed gold prices despite spot surging. Legacy of the mess ups in the 80s and 90s. Very smart. Preserving profitability, discipline. That's a really good sign, and we're happy to see that. The bank sees near-term volatility, which means up and down, but mostly down. That's what they mean when they say volatility, as healthy within a structural bull market. Structural bull market, with valuations implying 3,500 gold pricing across equities. continues in the premium post RBC top five things about miners now. And the charts are just fabulous. Those of you familiar with Jordan Roy Burns' work, he's very big picture when it comes to miners. I think this is something that would complement his work. In fact, we're mutual subscribers. In fact, I'm sure he should be using these charts in his next show to at least say what he agrees and disagrees about, because he knows more about this than pretty much anyone in the miners and charting area. Dave Kranzler is a fundamentalist. He would also be interested in this, I'm sure. Okay, so let me pull up a picture or two on that. All right, so the charts, right? I'll show you a couple of the charts in a second. But there are like 10, 15 slides, but the ones that matter the most are gold price cycle analysis, 1970 to 2025, broken into two eras. Distribution and magnitude of historical corrections, visually easy to understand. Gold equity cycle analysis, GDX drawdowns and recoveries. Producer margins, cost structures, deleveraging trends, reserve and resource price for a spot in gold, sector valuation metrics, price to net asset value, EV to EBITDA, price to CF and FCF, free cash flow yields, and much more. Let me throw up a chart to that effect. So here's gold price cycles from 2008 to present. Visually, very easy to get. Up, down, right? He does that. They do that for the whole listing of gold since 1970, which makes sense. They break it down logically. Pre-Great Financial Crisis, post-Great Financial Crisis. And then they break down what the retracements are. And then they go down in categories and say, how deep is the average retracement? You know, good, the type of stuff that you would see on a HeartNet report, but visually very conducive to getting the most out of it. Here's an example of the distribution, right? So you have each drawdown and where it occurs, if it occurs, and the percentages at the bottom. Anyway, just it's very good piece. By related post, Goldfix PM, we said that out last night. Silver may have bottomed in the short term. Wrong, at least, well, maybe it has, but wrong. The LBMA is dead. Let it die. We didn't have the momentum. I'll explain that in a second. The LBMA is dead. Let it die. And that was a reaction piece to the LBMA wants to start a futures exchange that the FP was talking about. All right, next. The chat. There's a special message in the chat about the HQLA repo gold corridor concept, which we named and labeled and described in collaboration with Eric Young, something that we've been working on for years. That work has been consolidated and put together and presented for you in the chat room with a special personal message. And the data today is CPI. Actually, this is going to be a CPI number, and I should have the number out. I'll send it in the bottom of this. In the bottom of this, I'll send what the expectations are. It's due out at 8:30, but I didn't do that. I forgot that they rescheduled it for the cost of living adjustments, et cetera, et cetera. There you have it. So maybe we'll have something that pops the market off its lows today. Maybe we'll have a CPI that comes in very benignly. And if it comes in very benignly, gold and silver should pop along with equity. If it comes in hot, normally I'd say gold and silver will be sideways, but if it comes in hot, the market seems a little vulnerable right now. If you're wondering what's going on, here, I'll bring a chart up for you guys. If you're wondering what's going on, we are, to use a poly markets word, we are contained, okay? Up top, they're selling, and we cannot get through it. The market has run up too far, too fast, and somebody stopped it. And I believe that was the Bank of International Settlements in cooperation with the Pledge Protection Team, because the negotiation with G is coming up. You cannot have the markets showing a really, it's a very bad optic to go into the negotiation with gold doing what it's done. And especially with the questions that have been levied at Powell, he was asked about it. He didn't comment. Bessent, more buyers than sellers, and other people that are very important in this situation. You're going into a negotiation. You cannot have gold making new all-time highs in a negotiation. And so this market has been saddled. The question is, where is China buying and the BRICS? And we think we know where it's buying on gold, right? We think we know. We're not sure. But I'll just show that up. I'll just spread this out a little bit here, right? See this wick here? I'm going to make it up, but I'm probably not wrong. China probably bought down here. China, or a proxy for China, because between here and here is the range. This is going to be crazy to hear, but it's on my radar now. If nothing material comes out of this conversation, maybe we're in a new range from this purple line here, 3976, to that yellow line there, 4356. And I say that because, hey, if we're willing to defend that, if we're willing to defend that and not let it go above there, and they're willing to defend it down here, then you're going to have another whippy trading range designed, unintentionally designed to make people puke. You know, it's a puking range. So I don't know. I mean, that's it. I'm not trading this right now. I have that long silver position, that's not working out so well. I'll get out of that today, at least half of it. And I would say if you're looking at gold, look at these 3 days here. Whoever sold it up here, I think, has got an echo down here. I think it's the same type of seller. This is institutional selling, and this is other institutional selling. I don't know why they picked that price, but they picked that price. I think people are leaning on it now. And after the event, you could have a wild, wild move in gold. You could also have a wild move within this range. I'm Vince. Have a great day.
Well, thank you, Vincent, as always, for leading the team through another exciting, inspiring, sometimes terrifying week in the precious metals markets. But another bit of history we've been seeing this week, and hopefully you've all been having fun watching and following along at home. Going to be interesting to see what happens with this London situation, especially with the spread narrowing over the past couple of days. Will that be sufficient to incentivize metal back over to London? Going to be exciting. Will India have enough metal when they open up? Will that pent-up demand in India? I mean, they were already buying in a bit of a frenzy over the last month or so at a time when the price was already into record territory or getting towards record territory. And India, traditionally a price-sensitive buyer, and kind of a mania going on. Then you tell them, oh, well, now you can't have it. Curious to see what demand is like there as they open back up. And a whole bunch of other things that we will cover as we continue on this year here on the Arcadia Economics Channel. And real quick, before we wrap up, did want to pass along some positive news from our proud sponsor, Fortuna Mining, because they just announced that they have completed their preliminary economic assessment at their Diambasou gold project, which came back with an after-tax internal rate of return of 72% and a net present value of $563 million using a $2,750 gold price. And that's something that Jorge has mentioned, how they were progressing towards getting the PEA completed in the fourth quarter, which they've now done. And in here in this press release mentions how they are on track for the construction decision in the first half of next year. And some of the details that they put on here is that during the first 3 years of production, they'd be expected to deliver 147,000 ounces of gold per year at an all-in sustaining cost of $904 per ounce. Capital construction estimated at $283.2 billion, although fortunately, as we've talked about on the show, Fortuna, with a strong liquidity position right now of over $500 million at $537.3 million and a net cash position of $214 million. Might also mention that they do have 5 drill rigs still going. They've been drilling out there all year. And Jorge mentions here that with continued exploration success, they expect to be able to enhance the life of mine at Diambasou for over a decade, which would certainly be incredible if we had prices anywhere near the current level, let alone if they go higher. And Anyway, that is the news from Fortuna. Obviously, they've been doing quite well in the midst of the gold rally and also some of the steps they've taken to keep their own costs down while the gold is rallying. So they keep that margin wide. So anyway, that is the news from Fortuna. And in case you missed our last call with Jorge, well, that one's coming your way right now.